Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is especially verse 6 from the reading of the letter of St. Paul to the church in Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You may be seated. What is the opposite of thanksgiving? What would be the reverse of giving thanks? It's not being in need. Being in need is not the opposite of giving thanks. Someone in need can be full of thanksgiving, as Paul was in his letter to the church in Philippi. Instead, there are two other ways that are opposites of thanksgiving. One of them is the way of covetousness, the desire to always have more, always want something different than what we've been given. That idea of the grass being greener on the other side, and some of us have been on the other side only to realize it was either astroturf or it really wasn't that green after all. Covetousness. It's what led to the fall in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Eve saw the fruit, that it was good to the eyes, and the devil made it seem like it would be great for her life. So she desired that fruit, and she took it, and she ate. The opposite of thanksgiving. She took what God said not to touch or not to taste, not to touch. And she devoured it. We ought to check our hearts as we come to Thanksgiving for that sin of covetousness. What are the ways that we think God has been holding out on us? What are the things that we desire and wish we could have that He hasn't given to us? There's also another way that is the opposite of Thanksgiving, and that is the way of complaining and of grumbling. We see that with Adam in the Garden of Eden. When God confronts him about their sin, what have you done? Do you remember what Adam says? Well, it was the woman you gave to me. He complains. He grumbles. He shifts the blame. I wonder if we look at our own lives, how much grumbling and complaining might we find? I know I'm really good at identifying it in other people, but I wonder how much I've missed it in my own life. Grumbling and complaining about things going on, grumbling and complaining about other people or the work that God has given or whatever it might be. It's the opposite of thanksgiving. Tonight we come asking for His forgiveness. Tonight we come repenting of our grumbling and our complaining. Tonight we come to learn from St. Paul another way. What's surprising about the letter of St. Paul that we heard tonight, the letter to the Philippians, is that this was a letter that Paul wrote when he was in prison. Doesn't seem exactly like the sort of material you'd pull out for a Thanksgiving service. Oh, how about that prison letter again? That's got to be a great one. Certainly Paul could have been pulled toward coveting. He could have spent his time grumbling and complaining, but instead this is what Paul writes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, St. Paul acknowledges that we will have requests, prayers, and supplications to bring before God. There will be things in our lives and in this world that are not what we would want them to be or what they should be. We are to bring those to our Father in heaven, to lay the needs that we have, the needs that others have in our families and among our friends, before the throne of grace. But St. Paul adds, with thanksgiving. It would be a wonderful thing if in our prayers, even when we had a need that we were asking God for, if we would begin every prayer with a prayer of thanks. Amen. In the small catechism, Martin Luther offers a morning and an evening prayer for Christians to pray. And the striking thing is, he begins both of them with the words, "I thank you, my heavenly Father, for keeping me this night, for being with me throughout the day." To thank God is our duty. And when I say it is our duty, I don't just mean that it's a law, you better thank God or else. A duty is something that's helpful for us to know. What ought I to do? What ought I give to God? What does he ask of me? And honestly, he doesn't ask much. It is our duty to thank him, though. He has gifts that he gives and pours out on us lavishly, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. None of us have reached a century yet, but if we did, we could say century after century. He gives his gifts to us. He provides our daily bread, food, clothing, shelter, family, friends, work, heat, light. He provides for us in his church, his holy word, his holy sacraments. You heard what Moses told the people of Israel. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's why we begin our Thanksgiving by coming to hear the word of God, to remember all that he has given, so that we can then return and give thanks to him as he would have us do. What's amazing is that God doesn't ask us to do this or to do that or to save the world or to be perfect. He simply says, "Receive my gifts," and then return thanks. So whatever prayers you may have tonight, whatever challenges you may be facing in life, yourself or among loved ones, when you bring those needs to your Father in heaven, remember to do so with thanks to God. St. Paul also directs us where we should put our hearts and our minds. This beautiful little passage, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If we're having a hard time remembering or thinking of what we ought to give thanks for, then I suspect it might be because we've been dwelling on things that are false or dishonorable or unjust or impure or horrid or not commendable. And there's a lot of that out there. All you have to do is pull up your news feed on your cell phone or your computer, and you'll find plenty of things that don't fit what Paul is talking about here in verse 8. And the more we see those things, the more we're fed by all of those things, the more anxious we become, the less we give thanks to God for the gifts that he has provided. St. Paul was in prison, but he teaches us a better way. St. Paul is clear. He says, "It's not that I am in need, because I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be able to genuinely say that in your own life? I am content, whatever the situation. St. Paul talks about learning to face plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And this is the way we fight against ingratitude, by giving thanks to God. Not by taking for granted the things that we have in this life, but receiving God's gifts with contentment and with joy. And he says, "I can do all things through God who strengthens me." We can even give thanks to our God in the midst of suffering or of trouble or of difficulties through God who strengthens us. The people of Israel lived through a time in the wilderness. We heard Moses address them. This is on when they are about to enter the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy. And he talks about the 40 years they spent in the wilderness. We could say that we spend our time in the wilderness as well. in so many ways. Everything since Eden, since the fall, has been a wilderness of sorts. Now, we know the story of the people of Israel, how they spent their time coveting, wishing that they were back in Egypt with the leeks and the onions and the garlics. We know how Israel spent their time grumbling and complaining in the wilderness. But that's not what Moses points to. When he preaches to them this final sermon before he goes up Mount Nebo and dies, he reminds them of the way that God has provided for them, the way that God has been there for them. As you head to your Thanksgiving celebration tomorrow, either formally with those that you gather with, or at least on your own, spend some time remembering how the Lord has been there for you in this past year. Write down specific ways that he has helped you or served you or heard your prayers or provided for you. For Moses would have us know that our God is the one who has given us all that we have needed, and we have not been lacking in any way. And as we gather tonight, we remember not only the gifts of earthly life, but also the spiritual gifts. For we have not been lacking in those either. How much forgiveness have we received over the course of this past year? How many of God's promises have we heard and held on to? How many of his gifts have been given into our lives? The Holy Communion. Every time we gather, remembering our baptism and the grace poured out upon us there, we have much for which to give thanks. And the greatest gift of all, the gift that remains and will endure forever, is the gift that the Father has given to us in his only beloved Son. The Son who offered himself for us by dying on the cross and then took up his life again that he might be our shepherd and lead us through this life. So tonight, tomorrow, in the year to come, as you bring your requests and your prayers before your Father in heaven, as you offer him your supplications through the blood of Christ, bring as well your thanks to God for all his benefits and mercies to us, of which there are more than we could possibly number. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.